everybody, and welcome to the Hey Poor Podcast, your home away from home. Why don't you go ahead, take a seat, kick off your shoes. It's been a long week for all of us, and you've earned this rest in our video game house, the house the video games built. This intro was poorly thought out, but what else is new? I am joined today by Anthony Smooth.
Speaking
Spivey.
Of poorly thought out, I forgot to make an intro for this episode. Hey, everybody.
Nice. Crushed it. Listen, this is our stress-free zone. This is our, like, stress-free pod. You know what? On any other day, I might be stressed about the fact that I can't say the word podcast on a podcast, but not today, because this is our stress-free episode.
Our stress-free, free internet, voice-only audio recording device, also known as a podcast.
Exactly. Don't even worry about it, guys. Everything you're worried about is going to be okay. You're gonna ace that test. You're going to get that promotion. You're not going to be sent to the Trump centration camps. Anyway, so as you've no doubt already guessed, this is the Hey Poor Podcast, the official supplement to the Hey Poor Player website in audio format. It's going to be another two-person episode this week, which is, again, something that we are not going to stress about, just me and Anthony. On the first half of the show, we're going to talk about the games we've been playing this week, followed by a brief break during which we'll answer audience questions and sort of do the housekeeping commercial stuff that we have to do. And then afterwards, we're going to talk about the news this week, which will include the PlayStation Pro and a few other things, Young Justice Season 3. And
classic NES already sold out. Stores getting like 10 boxes at all.
Yeah, definitely. We'll talk about that. But first off, Anthony, what video games have you been playing this week?
All right, so this week is... I was thinking when... English. When Dragon Ball Z Xenoverse 2 and Mortal Final Fantasy came out on the same date, I was really worried about what game am I going to spend more time on and what game am I actually going to review on time and what's going to be a late-to-the-game review. Well, about 30 minutes into World of Final Fantasy, I got so disgusted with everything that was going on in the game, I turned it off, and I've been slowly replaying it ever since, just trying to get mad, not mad.
Mm-hmm.
The main problem, and it's a really big issue, I've talked about this a little bit, but it's especially apparent the more you get in. I'm about 5 hours in after about 20 attempts of playing it, the word choice and the dubbing on this game is the worst that Square Enix has ever done, which is disappointing. Because Square Enix does good dubbing. Because, like, their Final Fantasy games, Tidus excluded, and from Final Fantasy X, all really good voice actors, all good dubbing. Even if you haven't heard them before, they at least play their characters well, even in their bad games.
Yep.
This game has a character named Tama, who's some sort of little fox, like, sprite thing that... Oh, it's like one of the Final Fantasy monsters that's probably been in a game that I don't recognize because it's a terrible character. Her gimmick in English, they decided, they're like, oh, she speaks and says des a lot in the Japanese version, so we need to give her a gimmick in English.
Okay.
She adds the word the in the middle of sentences, like where it doesn't matter. So it's like, you got to the go to the place, and this game is the really good, please play it, don't stop the playing because the is really annoying, the word. This is constant.
Is this character going to be revealed to be like a space alien, like wearing a fucking human suit? Like, yes, hello, I am a human.
I really hope that at the end of the game they just ritualistically suicide this character because it's so bad. And it's not even like...
I have the nothing to live for.
I must the go now, the planet needs me.
I don't want to live on this the planet anymore.
It's the worst, and it's this really... praise be to the voice actors in this game, because they're trying.
Right.
They have a pretty, like, generic, like, hey, this game is supposed to be really big for the Final Fantasy fans who are now, like, 30 years old at this point because they've been playing. Let's make the story about as worthwhile to a six-year-old as anything else. Like, this is the story from the original Pokemon.
Yeah.
Anime. It's really bad.
Oh, man.
It's really, really boring. and I can't handle it. So I switched it to Japanese immediately because I was like, oh, nope, this is it. I can't handle it. The problem with that is the word the is in the subtitles
Oh,
when the character
God.
fucks up. So I have to read it, and I can't decide if reading it is worse than hearing it in my
There
head.
is no the escape.
There's no the escape. The word the will the haunt your memories. So I've been playing that on and off, and then I got so disgusted. I found a really cheap SP from a gift shop, or not a gift shop, like a pawn shop. So I've been playing Final Fantasy VI on that thing, and I don't know how I was ever able to play video games on that tiny screen.
For sure.
It like this how the controller is it or the system is it physically hurts my hands to play it now that I'm an adult and not like nine.
Yeah. It's kind
So
of a.
I'm either having physical pain playing a really good game or having mental pain
Playing a
by
really
hearing the
bad
word
one,
the.
yeah. No, it's an interesting choice. You say they'd sort of like dumb down the story so that like a 6-year-old could understand it, 'cause like I don't know that there are any new Final Fantasy fans. I know like for me, so I never really played Final Fantasy, and I certainly don't feel any need to get into it now, not just because apparently this one isn't very good, but just 'cause like when I see like Final Fantasy 15, I don't feel like, "Oh yeah, I want to jump right into this." And they certainly have a reputation for being sort of complex stories, which I don't know how much that comes up, but that's the thing. Like for your average consumer, like I don't know that they're attracting new fans into Final Fantasy. So why not just make it something for, as you say, like the 30-year-old old guard?
Well, like with Final Fantasy, it did get 13 got a lot of new fans, but the problem with that game is it was a hallway and not really an
Right.
RPG. It's like you gain just enough levels to beat the boss by beating the preset enemies in front
The
of it.
game's playing
If you miss
itself,
one, you're not
John.
good. Yeah, okay. He's not wrong in that video. I know what JonTron's not wrong
Yeah.
in. Like the earlier Final Fantasy, I wouldn't say they're like, oh, so complex that
Right.
people won't understand them. I understood the gist of the stories when I played them, like as a kid and a teenager. It's like with 6 and 9 and 7, which I have problems with, but I'm not going to get into that
Right.
right now because I'm going to alienate everybody else who likes that game. But they're good stories, like, and up until. All right, I'm going to. Even though it's not a Final Fantasy game, Kingdom Hearts is basically Final Fantasy.
Right,
Because,
yeah.
or at least they're the new age Final Fantasy, because at the start of Kingdom Hearts 2 and Final Fantasy X-2, Square Enix is like, fuck it. We're going to make the stories the most needlessly complex and stupid as possible things to alienate anybody who has not played all the older
Right.
games so that they will feel the need to buy the older games to find out what the fuck's going on.
Right.
And the problem with that is, no one wants to buy the older
Nobody
games
wants to
because they can't
buy
understand
nine video games.
Kingdom Hearts has 10 games.
Yeah.
We don't have a third game yet. There's not Kingdom Hearts 3 still doesn't have a release date. There are 10 games. Two of them are good. Like, and then, well, three of them are actually good, but I ranted about Kingdom Hearts a little bit on the last time I was on.
Yeah.
And Final Fantasy's starting to do that because they're like, "Hey, we're going to make 13-2 and 13-3." And ooh, 13-3. Do you care if I spoil the ending of that?
Not at all, slightly. But
Okay.
if you care, dear listener, I'll put a timestamp in.
Yeah, so 13-2 and 13-3 basically end together. End of 13-2, it's a time traveling game, and you find out
Right.
there go back. So at the beginning of 13-3, Lightning is a god, or is God's messenger, and the whole thing is she's collecting people's souls to go in to be transcended into the next world.
Okay.
So right after the final ending, you find out, oh, the god you're working with is actually a bad guy. We gotta kill him. So after you do that, they transport him into the actual real world. They like go to Europe, and that's where the game ends. Is Lightning events our Earth, and like, all right, all the Final Fantasy characters are living on Earth now. That's how we're gonna end our game. And that made so many people either really confused that they're like, why the hell is this on real Earth? Do they still have powers? And then it just ends. That doesn't
Are
explain
they going to put
anything.
on normal clothes and not just like
No, they
400
do.
belts?
They put on relatively normal clothes for Final Fantasy characters at the end.
Just put on like a hoodie and.
Yes. Oh, that game made me so mad at the ending. I played. I bought that game and the guidebook because I was like, "Fuck! I'm not gonna do a time travel bullshit. I'm just gonna follow this guidebook." And I put it down. I played it for an hour and set it down for 2 years, and I just recently beat it. That was a solid waste of my time. So
yeah, sounds like a bad ending can really ruin an otherwise good game. I remember
it
when
wasn't
I
a very
it.
Good game. It was a mediocre game that had severe lag issues.
Oh boy!
But yeah, that's my Final Fantasy like World of Rant, and those are what I've been playing this week. So
okay, I don't have a lot of things. I only played one game for review this week because apparently we're not getting a lot of PC code. And Francis keeps trying to give me PS4 code, even though I don't have a PS4, which I appreciate, but, like, I'm good, but I'm not that good. Anyway, so the only game I played for review this week was a game called Yesterday Origins, which I was actually pretty excited for. It's a sequel to a game you might have heard of. Have you ever heard of Yesterday?
Yes, I have it. I've never played it, though.
It's pretty good. It's a solid, like, I'd say, like, a 7 or 8 out of 10, depending on... you know, how much you like point-and-click adventure games, which I really do. The first game is much more a sort of murder mystery game with some interesting supernatural elements, and you play as a lot of different characters and get to see lots of different sides of the same story, and it had some missteps. I think one of the biggest problems with it was that it had some difficulties with, like, balancing its tone, because it wants to be both a horror game, or at least, like, a scary game, and a funny game, and that is possible to do. Like, Deadly Premonition did that very well. Corpse Party kind of, like, at least has some funny moments that don't feel totally out of place.
Corpse Party has my favorite line in any video game about buttering poopers.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, and yet it manages to feel relatively like something that character would say at that time. Sometimes Yesterday didn't do that as much. So Yesterday Origins is a sequel to that. It is actually a sequel despite being called Origins, dealing with the background of one of the main characters of the first game, John Yesterday, who his whole thing, and this is a kind of a spoiler for the first game, but like Statue of Limitations is kind of out on that, I think. Anyway, so the John Yesterday is immortal, but only in the sense that he can die, but then when he dies, it comes back as a, like, 20-year-old man, basically, no matter how old he got, and he has lost all of his memories every time that he reincarnates. And his girlfriend, Pauline, has the same deal going on, except she can keep all of her memories because she got, basically, a better version of the transformation, like a more polished version of the transformation. And so Yesterday Origins is them kind of trying to piece together John's life and his missing memories and find some way to perfect the process on him so that when he is reincarnated, he can keep his memories. And I was excited for it because it seems like it's very much billing itself as sort of a like conspiracy theory type adventure. Kind of like a Foucault's Pendulum thing, actually, in a lot of ways, which is one of my favorite books, where it's, like, sort of mixing the supernatural and the skeptical and dealing with ancient cults and things like that, as this antique shop-owning immortal couple travels around the world, which all of that sounds really interesting to me, but Yesterday Origins is just... it's boring. I gave it a 2.5 out of 5, the complete middle-of-the-road score, because, like, it's not even really interesting enough to hate, you know? It's just nothing. I'm trying to think of more to say about it, but, like...
like, with a point-and-click adventure-type games, even though I remember you saying it's not really a point-and-click, with those types of games, story is paramount to everything. So if it's just middle or boring, that's almost worse than being a bad story.
Yeah, exactly. Everything hangs on... and it is. It is a traditional point-and-click adventure game. Like, there's inventory puzzles and stuff, which I thought were often frustrating, more so than a lot of more recent games and even some of the older games that were actually, like, good, like Day of the Tentacle and Monkey Island. both of which have a few puzzles that are really bad. But Yesterday Origins is one of those where I would know what I need to do, but not how to do it. Like, I knew that I needed blood for something, and I knew that to do that I would have to cut myself, because again, kind of a dark game. And so, like, I use the sharp thing I have on my knee, which is already hurt. Nope, not going to cut there. What about foot? No, not there. Arm. So I end up having to try, like, every single part of the body until I find the one patch of arm I am allowed to cut myself to get the blood. And it's just things like that where I know what I have to do, get blood, but I can't actually do it. And to me, that is, like, the surest mark of a bad puzzle game. Because I feel like in a good puzzle game is defined by exactly that. If I know what I have to do, if I have figured out in my mind the solution to this puzzle, can I actually make it happen? And if not, not good puzzling. And then the story, the two main characters are just nothing. They have more personality in the first game, but like, I could not tell you anything about John Yesterday and Pauline, whatever her last name is. Like, even though they're the main characters of the game, and I spent, you know, hours with them, other than just, like, their sort of generic motivations, the story just happens to them, you know? Like, it's not like they're really influencing things, it's like, you have to go to this place to get this thing. Oh, okay, now you have to go to this other place. Oh, okay. And the tone disparity is so, so much worse. So one of the first puzzles you have to do, Pauline wants to remove her wrinkles, and you have a tube of anti-wrinkle, like, cream, and you think that would be it. But actually, it turns out what the puzzle is that you have to kill yourself. Because, again, she's reborn younger, and she retains her memories, so she's going to shoot herself in the shower. And first of all, it's another really frustrating puzzle to, like, find everything you need to do that. But, like, everything about this scene is played out as a joke. Like, when you pick up the item descriptions and stuff, it's this sort of, like, wry descriptions of everything, and like, oh, so today is the day that you will take your life. It's meant to be funny, and it, I don't know, to me it's really not. Maybe just because, like, suicide jokes don't necessarily sit well with me in general, but, like, it's just... And then when you actually do it, when you actually solve the puzzle, and you go to shoot yourself, like, it's this really slow scene where she, like, steps into the shower and takes a deep breath and hesitates a moment and then pulls it. Like, it's framed really dramatically, and it's like, so is this a joke or not?
Oh, those are the best. Those are so terrible. So it looks like I'm not going to pick this up, then.
No, I can recommend the first game, again, if you like... If you don't mind, you know, sort of occasionally frustrating gameplay, and accept that it's not the absolute best ever. Like, the first Yesterday is pretty good. Yesterday Origins is just a bizarre... It just can't decide what it wants to be, I guess.
It also follows my absolute least favorite naming of anything by having a sequel be titled Origins.
Just the Origins naming is, like... sort of indicative of the whole game, because that is the most, like, at this point, generic thing you can name a video game sequel.
It's either Origins or The Beginning, or I'm not going to buy this because it doesn't interest me and it sounds like a prequel.
The only thing less creative than name of the first game, colon, Origins, is name of the first game, colon, something that starts with R-E. Like, you know, Revenge or Resurrection...
The only game that was ever good that starts with an RE is Revengeance.
Yes, Metal Gear Rising Revengeance managed to pull it off. But that's because it was called Revengeance.
Because it's called a word that no one believed was real until they had to look it up. I did not believe it. That game was great. That was the only Metal Gear game I've ever beaten. But, man, I love that.
It's because it really wasn't a Metal Gear game.
Nope.
And I say that as somebody who loves the Metal Gear Solid series of games, listeners, don't get me wrong. But yeah, if you don't like those in general, Revengeance was like a completely different, like, fast-paced action game with a crazy senator, and it was wonderful.
Now, I love watching Metal Gear games. I can't play them worth a darn, because I'm just really bad at the type of games that they are, but I love the stories and how insane they get.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Like, the first four Metal Gear Solid games, basically everyone just gives them a pass on their honestly not that great gameplay because they like the story, with the possible exception of Metal Gear Solid 3. And then it's interesting then because the more recent one, Metal Gear Solid 5, everyone gave a pass to its crappy story because it was actually really fun.
Yeah, so that's no, I really wish I could get more into Metal Gear. I have the collection. I had the admittedly pretty terrible 3DS version of the third game, which was really
Yeah,
bad if you didn't have the
I have
PS3
that. I
version.
didn't think it was that terrible.
Did you have that Pro controller thing that cost like $15 in order to play right?
No, I just
The
played it
little like
on
extra.
my 2DS. I don't know. I thought it was fine. Not like the best ever, don't get me wrong. I'm sure the the PlayStation port was probably a lot better, but you know.
No, but like with all these games, they always interest me. I'm just like, oh, I got shot. I'm upset because I don't know how to sneak. I'm really bad at those types of games. I was like,
Yeah.
God damn, I just want to get to an hour and a half cutscene.
Don't we all?
But no, that's really
Yeah, so
that's.
that's yesterday Origins, a game so interesting that we talked about Metal Gear Solid instead.
Metal Gear Solid is the greatest game that I will never be able to play. But no, there's that really disappointed me, because there are like a lot of like it seems that point and clicks are almost having a revival now that Telltale
Yeah.
did so well on their games.
And King's Quest and yeah, a
Yeah,
lot of that stuff.
I heard King's Quest is actually did pretty well too in sales, so I'm kind of glad they're getting back together, and like the whole genre is coming back. Because I've always had fun with them ever since I played Freddy Fish was my first
Oh
introduction to those
yeah.
games.
That was actually no, let me think. I can't remember if I played that or Star or not Star Fox, Spy Fox first, but it was the same idea either way, yeah.
So when those games come out, I'm always excited to play them, and then I was like, oh, it's a I have to actually spend time playing this. I'm going to pick up something else. Have my money anyway because I support these types of games.
Yeah, no, I really love point and click adventure games, and one thing I love in the modern sort of resurgence of it, I guess, is that like we're getting a lot of different types. There are some like truly traditional point and click inventory adventure games, like you know, the upcoming Thimbleweed Park, which we talked about in another episode, and this one yesterday and Yesterday Origins, and the last one I played that I really, really loved was Hector Badge of Carnage, which probably nobody's heard of. Telltale published it, but they didn't make it. It was made by a company called Strandlooper that actually hasn't made anything else. But if you like those types of games, it's really, really funny, really, really dark British comedy about a cop, about basically just like a fat, lazy cop named Hector in Clapper's Reek, the town that took the great out of Britain. And that's really good. But like, so you have the traditional, and then you have like the Telltale. You're basically just walking through a story, making different. It's essentially like choose your own adventure of video games, which I do enjoy. They get a lot of hate for that, but I think it's a totally fine and often effective way to tell a story. Although, maybe release episodes on a regular schedule? Because I got Wolf Among Us, and like, by the time episode 2 came out, more than 6 months after episode 1, I like forgot that I had it for a long time. And yeah, I like that there's so many different types now. And like Kentucky Route Zero, like something like that, is completely different from anything else. And yeah.
Well,
That's yep, that's
that's our awkwardness that's going to get cut out of the podcast.
Yep, that was that conversation. It's okay, it's okay. Stress free, breathe deep. The other thing that I played this week, not for review, but I've been playing Superhot because I was really interested in that game, but it was $20 and I heard that it was like pretty short, so I did not want to buy it for myself. So I put it on my wish list and got it for a birthday gift from actually a listener to the show, Jovakeen. So that's fun. But yeah, so Superhot, if you're not familiar, you probably are if you have even really a passing interest in first-person shooters, is a first-person shooter with a very distinct art style where when time only moves when you move. Technically, when you're standing still, it moves very, very, very slowly, but essentially, when you stop, time also stops. And so it's kind of a mix of, like, almost turn-based strategy and first-person shooting, because one shot and you die. What's interesting about it is that it is a game that is designed to make everyone look cool. Like, it always shows you your replay after you beat a level, because when you... Because you're stopping time, it seems like you have super quick reflexes, right? Like, you shoot a guy, and you turn around immediately and shoot a guy, and then you turn around immediately again and, like, throw something at somebody. It's designed to make you look as cool as possible, and I never, ever do. I don't know why, because I like strategy games, and I like first-person shooter games, and I like Super Hot, and, like, those are the two genres of games that I consider myself pretty good at, but somehow the, like, intersection of that Venn diagram, I am really bad at Super Hot.
Super Hot is another, like, first-person shooter that I'm actually somewhat interested in because of how it looks. Because it's really pixelated. It looks kind of like you're shooting the pixelated Super Smash Brothers characters that come up when you're in training mode. Yeah, for sure. So it looks really cool. I've seen a bunch of, like, people on YouTube just doing some really crazy shit with that game.
Yeah.
Or, like, throw the gun, dive, pick up another one across a bar, shoot two people in the head, throw it again.
Yeah, like I said, it's a game that is designed to facilitate those cool moments. And yet, all of my replays are me, like, throwing the bottle at a guy, missing, throwing another bottle at a guy, missing, throwing the gun at the guy, and finally hitting, turning around, missing, shooting the guy four times. Like, I don't know. But I am enjoying it a lot. I do agree... I do feel that, like, it's not necessarily worth the $25 asking price, because it is not that long. It's sort of a fun, like, it's sort of a fun throwaway game, right? Like, you play it, you get through all the levels, and you're like, that was really fun and interesting, and I'm glad I'm experienced that. Anyway, I'm done with it forever. Other than the, as you say, few people on YouTube who are like, I am going to try my hardest ever at it.
I'm going to make the absolute sweetest replay of all time.
Exactly. It's been a good year for shooters, but like adventure games, actually, it's been, I think, an interesting year for sort of indie shooters that are trying some very different things. Like, have you heard of Devil Daggers?
I've heard of it. I've never seen it in action, though.
Maybe I should do a video of it. Devil Daggers, to me, in terms of, like, how much time I have spent playing games that came out this year, comes second place only to Battleborn, which yesterday became my most played game on Steam. And, okay. Like, and Devil Daggers is a game that you play for 45 seconds. Because,
okay.
So Devil Daggers is, also a first-person shooter with a very distinct art style. This one, though, is not, like, sort of a clean, clinical, as you say, sort of Smash Brothers look. It's a Quake 3 scary look. And there's no story, and there's only one weapon. Now, the problem is, when you describe Devil Daggers, it sounds terrible, but hear me out. I promise. So you have one weapon, and it is the aforementioned Devil Daggers, which have two firing modes. If you left-click, you get... Or if you click, like, really quickly, just once, you get basically a shotgun blast. And if you hold it down, it's a rapid-fire, much weaker stream of daggers. And it takes place the entire game in a small circular arena, and an average run of the game lasts 45 seconds. And basically what you do is you just play it over and over. You get the same monsters every time. They spawn in slightly different places. And you play over and over, trying to get faster and faster times and climb your way up the leaderboard. And it's a game that isn't really actually winnable. There's kind of a final boss of sorts, but the level just keeps going on forever and ever until it gets to a point where, like, no human being could beat it. Although the top records are, like, it's incredible how dedicated people are and how good some people are at this game. But yeah, you just replay the same level over and over. But there's something really, really fun and really, really enjoyable about that. That is hard to explain. But it's really fun to try and, like, solve this over and over. And when you lose, because of you are going to lose, it doesn't so much feel like, oh, I lost, now I have to do the same thing again. It's like, okay, I know what I did wrong, and I bet if I try again this time, I can do slightly better. And, yeah, I mean, like, but my point was more that, and so Devil Daggers is something that I've played for, like, more than 30 hours, and my longest time is, like, I think I broke 3 minutes. Yeah, I finally broke 3 minutes. Was my longest run. But it's something really fun. And it's just interesting to me that you have, like, that and Superhot coming out in the same year. Like, both first-person shooters, but both very, very, very different from the traditional first-person shooter experience.
And then we have, like, alongside those indie titles that are getting more and more recognition as well. I know for a fact Superhot got some mass appeal. We also have, like, the first-party ones, like the Doom game that everyone thought was going to do really poorly because, or not poorly, but was going to be really bad because Bethesda's like, we're not going to send any review copies. We're not going to tell anyone about this. And it turns out that they got lucky and that was a really good game.
Yeah.
And then with Call of Duty, even though I think we gave it like a 3.5, it's at least trying a bunch of new things and trying to get out of the steel corners that it's been in too.
Yeah. It's interesting because I feel like we've kind of seen the first-person shooter bubble burst. Like, a couple years ago, it was all everybody was trying to compete with Call of Duty, right? Mm-hmm. And that, like, that was the games industry. And now I feel like that sort of shifted towards, you know, like, survival, crafting, or open-world games, really, is what it is now, is all these open-world games that are all kind of feeling like the exact same thing. And so it seems like first-person shooters now are kind of trying to branch out. So you have things like Titanfall 2, which Francis talked about at length, and from which what I understand is, you know, a very different sort of take on first-person shooters, especially on the first Titanfall game. And as you say, you have Call of Duty maybe trying some more things, and you have Battlefield going back, bringing back the historical shooter with World War One, and actually managing to be fairly respectful of it, at least in the game, because the marketing team, holy crap, you ever get those like Battlefield 1 ads that are like really kind of in poor taste?
The Battlefield 1 ads are almost as bad as the Mighty No. 9 ads were in terms of poor taste.
What's
they're
matter?
Not good.
When you saw those ads, did you cry like an anime fan on prom night, Spivey?
I saw that ad and I was like, this can't be real. This cannot exist. And I checked the YouTube link and I was just, fuck.
Yeah.
They just lost hundreds of dollars right there on that one awful line.
Yeah.
But it's probably become my favorite catchphrase from people just making fun of it.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were about to say it's become your favorite game and I'd be like, what?
No. I played it at a friend's house who kickstarted it, because I was regretting not kickstarting it when I heard it, and now I'm so glad I'm
not
paying money.
History has vindicated you.
No, now I can look for other indie create games to hopefully not suck as much, like the new Master Blaster. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, so like the Battlefield 1 ads, just to go on this real quick, because maybe people don't know, I want to say what we're talking about. Like, so Battlefield 1 is not the first Battlefield game. Thanks, Kingdom Hearts. But it is a Battlefield game that takes place in World War One, and I have not played it, but again, from everything I've heard from our review on the site and stuff, like, it's the campaign is actually fairly respectful, dealing with managing to make something that is fun, but also is, like, realistic to the World War One experience, sort of. But then the marketing includes things like tweeting out weekend goals and showing a soldier being burned alive by a flamethrower with the phrase "when you're too hot for the club" overlaid on it.
That's so fucking disgusting. It's hilarious. Like, that's the thing that you would imagine, like, one of those, like, ironic, like, meme generators to make.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because it doesn't go well with all what should be happening on the games.
Or when your squad is looking on point and, like, a Zeppelin burning in the background with, like, a bunch of, again, like, tired World War One soldiers. Stuff like that. Basking in the glow of a burning airship. I'm just kind of scrolling through the Twitter page now.
No, like, I really think they're like, hey, that Sonic the Hedgehog Twitter feed is actually doing really funny. Let's
Yeah,
try to
but the
copy
Sonic
that
the
for
Hedgehog Twitter
adults.
feed is talking about a cartoon hedgehog. You're talking about millions of deaths.
You're also talking about a hedgehog where only robots die.
Yeah.
And.
It's a very different sort of historical context, EA marketing team. Oh man. And the problem with the Battlefield 1 tweets is that they are often in my Twitter feed because like they become like the promoted ads, especially for me because I tweet about video games a lot, and so they're like, "Oh, you want to see this?" And it's like, "No, I don't." It's horrible. All of it is it's pretty bad.
It's all just needing to end.
Just have a little taste. The game's doing well. You don't need to market it that aggressively, and you certainly don't need to market it, as you say, like the Sonic the Hedgehog Twitter, like Denny's. Like, don't. Just have a little human decency. Oh, never mind. I was gonna say have a little human decency. I forgot. This is EA.
And this is
Wah
EA.
wah.
They sold it once they realized that Dead Space 3 wasn't going to be good. They sold their soul to get sales. Like, and
I
the thing
guess.
is, Battlefield, isn't Battlefield like 1 doing the best out of their 3 games that they released that week?
Oh yeah.
Like, because Call of Duty didn't. I mean, it sold Call of Duty numbers, but it's not doing like in terms of if you look at the numbers on how many people are playing online at the same time, it's not
Yeah.
doing that great.
Yeah, I
And
mean,
Titanfall
yeah.
2
It
is.
still did well, but it's Call of Duty is doing steadily less well. We're probably seeing the end of that.
Call of Duty, please buy me.
yeah. And then Titanfall 2, most people would say is the best, but hasn't done the best, in part because it was competing. EA released it on the same week as Battlefield 1. It was like, no, they appeal to totally different audiences. And it's like, no, they don't.
Or
Because
they.
multiplayer shooter people are only going to spend $60, which, as we talked about last week, is a ludicrous amount of money to spend on anything. They're only going to do that for one game.
And then there's also like the people who only play first-person shooters, and they only get like one or two games a year to get really good at them.
Yeah, and they're going
Like,
to get Battlefield, and they're going to get Call of Duty, and they're not going to get the robot game that wasn't that good the last time around, even if it is really good this time.
or if it's not even that good, that was only on one console. So when they see Titanfall 2, they're like, "I didn't buy the Xbox One. I bought a PS4. I'm
Yeah.
not going to buy this."
Yeah, a lot of PlayStation 4 players are, looking at Titanfall 2 and they're like, "Well, I never got Titanfall 1. Do I need it to play this one?" No, you don't, but they don't know that.
I'm blaming Square Enix for the fact that Titanfall 2 did so bad because now everyone thinks, oh, it has a number in it, I have to play all the originals. I know that's not fucking true, but I'm gonna blame them anyway.
No more sequels, everybody.
Final
Because you
Fantasy
can't do
ruins
numbers,
sequels.
and you can't do
Sequel
origins or
numbers,
any
yeah.
words starting with RE. So just, you can't now. No more sequels.
No more sequels. Square Enix has killed sequels is our title so
There you
far.
go. And you know what else you can't do? Because this is something that's really, like, we're just nitpicking now, but screw it. This really pisses me off. You can't make a reboot of a game and call it the same thing as the old game, especially if that thing is Doom. Things like Rise of the Triad or the new Gauntlet could get away with it because those were not as well known. Maybe actually Gauntlet was, but like Rise of the Triad, you could do it because not many people had played the original Rise of the Triad and didn't even really get that it was a reboot, maybe. But like, you can't just call it Doom. I have been writing about the new Doom game a lot for Hey Poor Player and doing a lot of videos, and every time it's like, so do I call it Doom in all caps? Do I call it Doom 2016, which is really unwieldy? Do I call it Doom 4? Like, Doom 3,
You
which is
think that.
actually a nice segue because it's the other game I played this week. Doom 3 was a reboot, and they still put a number on it. Why couldn't you call it Doom 4? Grr.
Do you think that they would have learned about this back in 2006 when the worst game of that year comes out with Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yes.
It's called Sonic 06 because no one wants to call it
Because
Sonic
Sonic
the
the
Hedgehog.
Hedgehog. Yeah.
Even though that's the title on the box.
Yeah, and
Learn!
like what are you gonna do?
It
And
doesn't
hey,
do
what are you
well.
gonna do for the next one, Bethesda? We know there's gonna be a sequel. The game did really well. You gotta call it Doom 2? No, you're
I
fucking
hope they
not.
do. I hope they do, or call it like just Doom Electric Boogaloo. Just fuck it.
It's probably gonna have to be Doom colon something, and if it's Doom Origins,
It's Doom Origins, I will go up to Maryland and just defecate on Bethesda's door.
Yeah.
Just stop it. There's nothing you can do. You ruined it. You called your game Doom.
You screwed
it's been,
it up.
Doom has been massively popular for years. It still gets mods.
Yeah.
The original Doom stuff still gets modifications
from
fans.
It's still one of the biggest modding communities. It doesn't just get mods. It's one of the biggest. Like, that and probably other
Sonic
Bethesda games
Hedgehog.
Like Skyrim and what, Sonic the Hedgehog, yeah. Like, yeah. So, you know what? No sequel names are good. You can't win.
Anyway, you've been playing Doom 3?
I've been playing Doom 3, because that is the topic of this week's Second Opinion, as listeners of the show know, and followers of sort of my work on the HeyPoor YouTube channel. I do a series called Second Opinion, where we look at games everyone already has an opinion on and challenge those narratives. And this week, again, keeping things stress-free, I decided rather than tearing down a game that people like, which is what I've kind of done with the last two episodes with Overwatch versus Battleborn, and Day of the Tentacle, I decided just to talk about a game that was good, and so I talked about why Doom 3 is not just good, but which I think a lot of people have sort of grudgingly accepted, but why it's really, really good, and why its game design is really good, and probably most controversially of all, why the Doom 3 flashlight is actually a good design choice. I don't know how familiar you are with Doom 3.
I am not familiar with anything except for Doom 2, which I played and was not allowed to actually complete because my mom was just like, nope, deleted it off the computer. So I'm not very familiar with Doom in general. I've seen, gameplay, and I've played a little bit of, the Doom multiplayer, which I always forget the name of. Not the Doom multiplayer, the stuff that they did afterwards. Fuck it.
Quake?
But I'm not... Quake, yes. I played some Quake. But otherwise, Doom, I've always looked at it as like, that looks really cool for the time, and never really played it now that I'm older. Mm-hmm.
Well, Doom 3 came out in 2004, and it was a reboot, and basically, a lot of people didn't like it because it's not a Doom game. Like, the first two Doom games and the new Doom game, they're all about, like, fast-paced action and making you feel like a badass action movie hero, basically. Whereas Doom 3 is straight up a horror game that just basically reuses some of the monsters. And I argued, I mean, I made a whole video about it. I think it's a really, really good game. I think it's one of the best horror shooters ever, because that's something that's really hard to pull off, is the balance of the two. You often end up with something that's either, like, just a shooter and the horror is basically set dressing, Blood, which, oh boy, we have a lot of Blood fans on Hey Poor Player. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I'm just saying it's not a particularly scary one. Or it ends up being scary and, like, the shooting isn't fun at all. I think Doom 3 is actually one of the best balances of those two very different genres, something that manages to still be really scary, even though, technically, yeah, you can, any monster you see, you can just blast away. Yeah, and so a lot of the things people don't like about it are basically just because they don't like that it's not like the original Doom, but rather like something different. So they're like, oh, the guns feel too weak and ineffectual. Yeah, because it's a horror game, and you're not supposed to feel like you're super powerful. Oh, the environments are too dark. Yeah, because it's a horror game, and it's trying to scare you. It's annoying that you can't use the flashlight and the gun at the same time. Okay, but when the new, like, remaster, the BFG edition, put those two together, it made a bunch of scenes in the game really suck. Like, there's this really, really good scene where you have to deal with the Lantern Man. You run into this NPC who's carrying a lantern, and you have to decide if you let him live to lead you through this area, then, you know, you can actually see where you're supposed to go, and you can actually see in the dark because he has a lantern, but you get attacked by imps more because you, like, they can see the guy, so you will get attacked by more monsters. Or you can kill him, and then you have to go through the dark on your own, and you'll still get attacked, but you'll get attacked less. Mm-hmm. But the BFG edition made it so that you can have your flashlight and your gun out all the time, so why wouldn't you just shoot him, get attacked by fewer monsters, and just walk through the area being able to see everything no problem?
Well, I mean, those are really good topics. I really actually think that the Second Opinion is one of our, I won't say there are more diversive or divisive like things that obviously is on the website. It really needs to actually be watched more, except for your Doom 1. Because those are honestly some of the more, like, I'm not saying the best way to describe this. It's one of our most unique, like, features that not too many people are actually doing.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It is definitely our most divisive, like, like, most of our videos, the more views they get, the more likes they get. That Battleborn video, the, like, Battleborn versus Overwatch video, is actually picking up a lot of views, and it's staying about 50-50 likes and dislikes, which I actually kind of like. I think that's, you know, sort of the goal, is that not everybody's going to agree with it. That's why it has opinion right there in the title. But, yeah, I enjoy making them, and people are, like I say, they're starting to pick up. People are starting to enjoy watching them, which is all I can ask for. And with that, let's go ahead and go to commercial break. The Hey Poor Podcast is the official podcast of HeyPoorPlayer.com, your one-stop shop for video game and pop culture news, reviews, and editorials. If you like what you've heard here and you don't want to wait till next Wednesday to hear more, that's the place where you can read all of our writing and the full reviews of some of the games we've talked about on the show. You can also follow us at HeyPoorPlayer on Twitter or Facebook. And you can check out our YouTube channel, which is the home of my Second Opinion series of videos, which you were just talking about, along with a whole host of Let's Plays, features, and reviews separate from the site proper. And beyond that, Anthony Spivey, where can people find you on the internet?
People can find me on Twitter at VirtualSpivey, S-P-I-V-E-Y. I tweet occasionally. Usually it's just retweets of horrific news or memes. It's mostly memes this week. It's been a very, very weird week in the world. So, but either that or I'm on BattleGBA.com if you're a fan of the Pokemon competitive battling site. That's going to get a massive revamp come in 2 weeks because the new games are coming out.
Right,
so
right.
If you like competitive discussion and IVs and EVs, you'll understand that. And if you don't understand what that is, the site's probably not for you because you're not into competitive Pokemon. That's
well, I guess
okay.
I won't be visiting.
That is fine. That's pretty much
not
all I've been at.
Here. Yeah, you can find me at Last Space Marine on Twitter, or otherwise, like I say, I am, at this point, I am basically the main content producer for the YouTube channel, which is fine, because that's, I enjoy it, so be sure to check that out. We also have, I'll go ahead and announce this here, do keep an eye on the YouTube channel, because we're going to be having something new in the coming, probably in a couple weeks. We are going to be doing a Dungeons & Dragons show, and, our goal right now is for this to actually be a live thing that we're going to do once a week, probably sometime during the weekend. And I'm going to be the Dungeon Master for a group of Hey Poor players, I guess. Hey Poor player writers and staff people. And we're going to play an ongoing Dungeons & Dragons campaign for you to watch and enjoy. So this is something that we're really excited to do, and you'll definitely want to keep an eye out for that.
I will be more than interested in watching it, though I do not know how to play Dungeons & Dragons at all, so I will be abstaining for that time.
This will be an excellent
but
introduction.
I'm very interesting.
Yeah, so and so we've been wanting to have more tabletop stuff on the website. That's something Bethany and I talked about quite a bit on the show last week, and this is something that Jack Hills and I are putting together, and like I said, I'm really excited, so keep an eye out for that. Don't know what it's going to be called. Right now we're calling it Hey Poor Dungeons & Dragons, but that name fucking sucks, and we're not going to keep it. At all. Beyond that, we also have the Hey Poor Player forums, which you can find by clicking the link on our main site, and that's something that we're really trying to get started as a way to interact with you guys, the Hey Poor Player community. Unlike, you know, and the thing is, unlike like reading articles or watching videos with adblock off, the forums don't benefit us directly in a monetary sense, but we really want to use this as a way for you guys to be able to get in touch with us. So, like, if you want to ask me about dungeon mastering, or if you want to ask Anthony about the dark, dark perversions that he can't talk about on the show, the forums are where you can talk to us directly about all of our work and our dark pleasures. It's also where you can ask questions that will get featured on the podcast, like Lavender Frostflower. Lavender Frostflower. It's okay, no stress zone. Participant on the Hey Poor Player forums asks, what's the strangest cartoon you've ever seen? And I'm really excited to your answer to this, Anthony.
Oh, there are so many Japanese ones. Keijo is very weird. That's airing right now, just because it's a bunch of people battling each other with their butts.
It sure is.
That's one of the weirdest things that's actually getting really popular.
Of course it is.
I've been working on it. I'm about to do another review on those series because the show is very arcy, where you can like do, oh, here's the ass training arc, where you have to wear a skin tight bodysuit in order to train your body in order to use a move called the ass cannon to knock people, which if it doesn't hit your opponent, it will rip their swimsuits off of their body and fly them into the pool of water. And that's not the like the weirdest thing I've seen,
Oh,
like,
God.
of all time. I'm still trying to think, but that's like the weirdest currently airing one. What else is there? Fucking the weirdest. While I try to remember this, I can say the weirdest American thing, or I think it's American, was the was this old animated version of the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I've seen that. The greatest adventure is
That,
what lies ahead.
yeah, that's one of the weirdest American things I've ever seen.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's a pretty good answer because that's pretty weird. Whenever somebody dies in that movie, and I think the only one I've seen is the Hobbit one, but I understand they did do a Lord of the Rings as well, but like they. Yeah, like whenever somebody dies in that, they like you see them get stabbed or whatever, and then it looks like a kaleidoscope effect because I guess they didn't want to show death or blood, but like, so there will be a battle scene and there will be like 20 of those kaleidoscope effects all happening right next to each other or something, and then like the whole
Yeah.
thing looks like it was animated and voice acted on a budget of like a buck and a half. That's a pretty strong answer. While you're thinking of the weirdest anime you've ever seen, because I'm genuinely curious of that, I did think about saying Space Dandy, but that's which you're presumably familiar with.
Yes, I am. Space
Space.
Indie is great.
That's the thing, though. Yeah, Space Dandy is weird, but it's intentionally weird, and it's great. It's by far my favorite anime. Not that I've seen a lot. It's one of my favorite shows, probably. But so like strangest and bad, I think I have to go with technically a cartoon movie, but Food Fight.
Oh, you're talking. Okay, there's a different food fight that's also in anime. You're talking about the
I'm talking
really
about
awful CG thing.
yeah, it's a
You actually sat through all of that because I
I
only got halfway through it.
I've actually sat through it several times 'cause I think it's a good like bad movie night. Like it's funny, it's fun to make fun of, but it is absolute garbage. It's essentially think this you can find it for free on YouTube. I strongly recommend that you do if you like things that are truly awful, 'cause this is the worst movie I've ever seen. It's basically like Toy Story, except instead of it being toys that come to life, it's brands. It's not even like food, like it's not Sausage Party, although that one was also pretty bad, but it's like it's the food brand. So like Mr. Clean's in it and whatever they got Charlie the Sun-Kissed Tuna and like the Chiquita Banana Lady are all characters in the in this film and the Hawaiian Punch guy, stuff like that. And it stars like Charlie Sheen and Wayne Brady and Christopher Lloyd and Harvey Weinstein, like really, really good actors for the worst movie ever. And the weirdness doesn't even stop with the movie itself, because then you get to like the production history where it was supposed to release in when was it supposed to release again?
It was like a decade ago. It was a while.
Yeah.
Like it was like in the early
Okay,
2000s, if
yeah,
I remember right.
it was supposed to come out in 2002. And somebody reportedly stole the entire movie. And so.
Yeah, they stole all of the assets that the movie was created on. I forgot about that.
Yeah, after spending. How much was it? After spending $45 million on this film, the entire movie was stolen. And then 10 years later, in 2012, it was quietly released direct to DVD, like, no build-up at all, nobody talking about it. And they apparently rebuilt the whole movie from, like, scratch or something, which is part of the reason that it looks so terrible. You can actually see 2002 trailers for what the original movie was going to look like, and it still doesn't look like it would have been a particularly good film. But, like, the animation looked pretty decent, and there's some things, like, it looked like it would have been a middle-of-the-road, forgettable animated movie. But they apparently spent 10 years rebuilding it from scratch, again, with what looks like about a $1.50 budget, to produce just, like, the most hideous CGI animation that exists.
Like, this is a movie that looks like it was created by a dude who brags about being a great CG animator in your high school computer class, and then he gets realized, oh, you have $1 million budget. You're animating this by yourself. Good luck.
Yeah.
I like also how, like, how there's a Nazi character.
Yeah, there's also, like, straight up Nazis, like, really, really sexual jokes, especially with the cat girl character in a movie ostensibly for children. Like, I'm sorry, Ed Asner is also in it, and Eva Longoria, and Hilary Duff, which is whatever. 2002 was a different time, but, like, yeah, like, man, there's some really good actors in this absolute tire fire of a film. Yeah, I just
there's also
no,
I remember
ahead.
Like, the best part of that movie was at the very beginning where the dude, like, is trying to the dog dude voiced by Charlie Sheen is just trying to get married to the reason cat girl.
Yeah.
And there's just this random fly, I forget who voices the flying squirrel.
Wayne Brady.
Wayne Brady basically is in a fucking helicopter, and he's just shitting everywhere on all of the people.
Yes.
He's just shitting chocolate.
Yeah, it's supposed to be chocolate, but again, the animation is so bad, that's not what it looks like. They blatantly reuse the same scene over and over. There's a moment that's like a battle of the bands. Like, there's a racist or, like, an offensive Jewish stereotype that's like, what the hell is this film? And what would it have been in 2002? Like, I so desperately want to know who stole it, and I want to see it. I hope that somebody, like, on their deathbed, like, in their will, like, releases, I have the original Food Fight tapes. How do you steal a $45 million movie?
It's all a ploy. It's Martin Shkreli, the same dude who has the Wu-Tang album, and he's just waiting for the worst thing in America to happen, so he just releases it. Here's the original copy of Food Fight.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right, so I figured out what it was, and it's not so much of the plot, which is generic anime trash, like harem trash. What it is, it's called Eiken, E-I-K-E-N. And the reason why it's some of the weirdest, like, worst type of same shows I've seen is these people are like, hey, we know that our people like breasts, right? What if we make characters where their breasts are basically as big as them?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this one, like, cute, like, chibi girl, like, who's, like, 3 feet tall at most, and she has breasts that are actually bigger than she is, just on her body, and they move so dramatically.
What is the name of the show again?
Eiken, E-I-K-E-N, I think. All right, I'm pulling it back up on...
No,
yeah,
that's
E-I-K-E-N.
Right. Oh, my Lord almighty.
And those are animated, and they are some of the funniest... Oh. Do not watch it, or watch, like, one episode and you've seen everything. It's just smut.
Do not look at it. Do not do a
breaths.
Google image search. I was curious, and I have paid dearly. Oh my.
Speaking of Google image search, since you're online, look up High School of the Dead breast gun scene.
Uh-oh.
Because School of the Dead is...
I think I may have actually seen this. But go ahead, yeah.
High School of the Dead, if you haven't seen it, is a really trashy high school anime, and the first episode, zombies invade. This was back in 2012, I think, so it was like, zombies are kind of on their way out, but not really as much as they are now. But it's like, super horrified, like, super, oh, we're gonna eat each other, like, we're gonna kill everything, blood everywhere. like, oh, we're friends forever. And then a zombie grabs this other girl, and the girl's like, fuck you, and kicks her off the stairs. They're like, fuck you, this is, I'm living, not you. And then there's a scene, I'm thinking about episode 3 or 4, where they're trying to
Yes, yeah.
escape the
I
zombie
have
end.
seen this one before, but it
Yes.
is magnificent.
So you can attest that this is real as well.
Yep.
There's this scene where the guy is trying to kill all the zombies that are coming out, and he has to use the girl's breasts that are pretty large as like a holster for his gun. And like, so every time he shoots, it like vibrates and her breasts fly everywhere. And then, and well, in the same exact episode, like a little bit earlier, somebody shoots a gun and it goes in between her breast envelop and fly around in
Yeah,
impossible
that's
situations.
the one that's more amazing to me than even like the gum breast thing is her is so let's be clear, when you say shoots through her breasts, we're not talking about like through the cleavage, like between the breasts, like basically
Oh, it's in
shoots so that
between the
it should
cleavage,
pass
but
through
the
both,
breasts.
yeah, it should pass through both breasts, but they move in such a way that no human woman's body could ever possibly move, and manage to basically flop around the bullet is the only way to describe it. It is horrific. It is.
It's Dead or Alive's breast physics dialed up to like 50.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, it's anime was a mistake. 2012 was a bad year for animation. I don't know what more to say than that. Dark times.
Anime was a mistake. They need 12 more Hiroshimas, as said by Hayao Miyazaki, according to a few tweets I've seen.
Yes. Oh man. To take another quick sort of commercial segment, if you like video games, and there's a pretty good chance that you do, check out our Games Republic store, which you can find by clicking the store link on heypoorplayer.com. There you'll find low prices on all your favorite games. For example, this week, you can get actually. This week, Games Republic is doing a sale on all games by Polish developers, so you can get a bunch of those for cheap. A lot of games on there, too many to list. Go check it out. All of the games come in your choice of format, whether that's Steam code or a DRM-free download, and a portion of the proceeds goes to help starving game journalists. That is to say, us. A portion of the proceeds goes to help us. So you get cheaper prices on games you love, and you continue to help us do shows like the Hey Poor Podcast. It's a win-win for everybody. That's www.heypoorplayer.com and click the big ol' store link on the side. Get yourself some video games. Do it.
Yeah.
Antique. That's Anteak. I don't know if that means something, but participant on the Hey Poor Player forums asks, and this is actually what sort of inspired the theme of this week's episode. Recommend some good stress-relieving escapist games. Do you think story helps with the escapism, or are puzzle games better?
It really depends on the type of games you play. Because, in general, for most people, puzzle games are great. Like, Tetris is amazing, like, stress-free. If you need, like, 5 to 10 minutes of yourself, even though Tetris is on everything, you can literally play it on calculators and refrigerators at this point. It is one of the most stress-free relieving games out there, and it doesn't have a story or anything like that. If you're looking for good story escapism, there's the Persona series, if you're good with handling 80-plus hour RPGs. Because, especially 3 and 4, the 1 and 2, now that I've been replaying them, also do it. Sets up its entire world so well that it almost feels like you're falling into them. Which is why, especially with 3 and 4, where you choose like your day-to-day activities, who you talk to, what you're going to do. Are you going to spend time fishing, bug catching? Are you going to go ahead and hang out with the woman who is personified as Death?
Yeah.
They're amazingly good for escapism, so those are the main ones for puzzles. Or there's also Pokemon Puzzle League, which is a great like handheld puzzle game. That's I think it's like Tetris Attack is another name for the exact same type of games. Those are my main ones when I want to be stressed and just escape into the worlds of different games.
Yeah, I mean, I think what makes this question kind of difficult is that for a lot of people, it seems like their stress relief games are the games they played in their childhood. Like, I've talked about this on the show previously. I mean, everybody freaking knows by now. Like, last week we managed to get through without talking about Doom. I guess it's not happening this week because that is my stress relief game. And I know for Persona as well, for you, like, you played that at sort of an important time in your life. And like, so my girlfriend, I know that her stress relief game is World of Warcraft, and that's because she played that when she was a kid, and she likes going back into the world and escaping there. Whereas for me, World of Warcraft is not a stress relieving game. It is a stress creating game, very much.
Warcraft. Honestly, World of Warcraft scares me with how many people
Exactly.
take that seriously.
Yeah, so like it's just there's too much. So like I think that a big part of the in terms of stress relief, I think a big part of that is just sort of, you know, where are you at? What sort of things help you personally, exactly like you were saying, Spivey. For me it's definitely first person shooters. I like to, you know, just there's no way to say this without sounding like five serial killers Voltroned into a single larger and more dangerous serial killer, but like the reason that first person shooters are stress relief games for me is because it's like I'm like shooting my problems, like I'm getting rid of my problems, like, yeah, you know, just like getting that aggression out for me. And now I'm on an FBI watch list, yay.
Oh, don't worry. Ever since you started talking to me, you're on an FBI watch list. Sorry, listeners. You might want to check your computer history.
I need an Anthony Spivey Origins, like your dark past. Forget John yesterday. But I think that in general, but in terms of escapism, I think that if it's escapism in the sense of like I just want to get away from the world, games without story are better for that. Like games where you just kind of get immersed into the gameplay, whether that is like shooting or grinding in World of Warcraft, or as you say, doing stuff in Persona, or like just doing non like just doing like silly things in Animal Crossing, I know is a big game for that for a lot of people.
Yeah, I
Like,
was going to mention that.
yeah, I
I'm
think,
not a fan of it, but I know why people are, and
yeah.
especially with the new updates and everything, even more people are going to fall in love with that thing, so.
Yeah, the cute man, the cutest,
Animal
like,
Crossing's huge.
go on the Animal Crossing subreddit if you want some stress relief. Like, you could just see them posting about the new update being like, oh my gosh, you can do like this thing with furniture, and it's like some minor thing, but they all get so excited about it. It's beautiful. So yeah, I think that in general, actually, story-free games are probably better for just like escapism and stress relief, because if you have a story, usually you kind of have to think about it, right? And I also think that just in video games, like in the medium of video games, most of the more story-based games tend to be sad. Maybe that's just my experience, but a lot of the games that I think of when I think of games that have a really good story are like The Beginner's Guide, which is super sad. The Walking Dead, which is super sad. Really, all of the new Telltale games are super sad. Devil's Playhouse, which is mostly funny, but like gets real sad at the end. That just kind of seems to be where video games are at as a medium right now, is sort of the emo phase, I think. Maybe you disagree.
It depends on what the developer, where the developer is, because especially in America and or like places like where Telltale's made all the American style, like point clicks are they're all really sad games, or pretty much every visual novel is either comedy only or incredibly depressing and sad, or they're so overly complicated, like dramatical pieces. Like Kingdom Hearts isn't a sad game. But it takes its drama and kicks it up as high as they can get, as high as their fans will allow it to go.
Yeah.
So it really depends on some story games. Like Persona can get really dark and really light at the same time, so I can't really call them sad until the very end, and I won't spoil any of them, but yeah, so sometimes even with those games where they're really happy, depending on the game you're playing, you're either gonna be crying your eyes out, or you're gonna be crying your eyes out for an entirely different reason.
Yeah.
So
I will say though, real
like
quick.
storytelling in gaming is changing, and I think for the better, because with the advent of actual shooters and things, which usually aren't known for stories at this point, are actually getting them more and more often now.
Right.
I think we're almost to a point where we're going to get a lot more comedy games at this point now, because people are slowly starting to get tired of, oh no, at the very end we have to kill so-and-so,
yeah,
or we die at the very end.
Yeah, more things like Revengeance, actually, is a pretty good...
God, Revengeance is such a... Really, we just need Platinum stories in general, or...
Yeah.
Platinum games.
Yeah, that's
they're
very
always
true.
Great. Even when they're sad, they're always, like, really stupidly funny at the same time, so...
Yeah. If this person, just in case, Antique, if you are specifically looking for a recommendation for a good, stress-relieving, escapist game, I would highly recommend Undertale. It's $10, so you can probably play it, and it does have a really sad ending. But if you just play it sort of normally, sort of the way that most people do, the way you're kind of supposed to, it's just a very, it's a very well-written game, but it's also just a cheerful game about, like, making friends, and there's a lot of humor, and that's a good, cheap, stress-relieving escapist game that is good both for puzzles and for story. So, I'll throw that out as a recommendation. Just because that's, yeah.
If the internet hasn't ruined Tumblr, if Tumblr hasn't ruined Undertale for you, it is a very good game. Mm-hmm. I just know for a lot of people that can't, like myself, I can't think about Undertale anymore without being a little upset over what the internet has done to that game.
That's true. I haven't played it myself in a while, but like, ignore, don't look online about it, just play it, because it's an excellent game, and I think it might be what you're looking for right now, and
it's excellent. The game looks a little weird, but it goes incredible, like, it goes for the story and the gameplay it's trying to be. It's not trying to be the best-looking indie game or anything like that. It is what it is, and it is great for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can also recommend it, too.
Mm-hmm. And, to sort of maybe exit the stress-free zone for just a quick moment, just because of the nature of this question, take care of yourselves, everybody, and if you need someone to talk to about anything, like I said, I'm at Last Space Marine on Twitter. So, all right, back into the stress-free zone for our last question, which will probably go very quick, because possibly only one of us can answer this. Jovakeen113, a participant on the Hey Poor Player forums, and the Hey Poor Player fan who bought me Super Hot, thank you for that, asks, favorite Battleborn character?
Yeah, I can't answer that.
Yeah, Miko, for the most part. Miko's definitely my main. They're just sort of a standard healing character. They're not my favorite character from a lore perspective, because on that point, I think they're actually one of the least interesting characters in the game. They're just kind of the sort of ethereal, like, magical mushroom person, like, essentially an Ent from Lord of the Rings. They're like, we will survive this, and there's not much more funny than that, but, they're usually who I play the most. I enjoy the, I enjoy getting to be the healer and also dealing poison damage. That's a fun role. My favorite character from a story perspective is Shaynan Orox. I suck at playing Shaynan Orox, but they have, in my opinion, a lot of the, like, funniest lines in the game, and I'm trying to get better at them. So that's that, and when we return, we will go into the news section of our program. So, we have a lot of not very big news this week, but that's alright, because we had a lot of good questions, and remember, you can share those with us as well. On November 1st, there was a rumor that Wii U production would be ending. On November 2nd, Nintendo denied this and said, no, we're absolutely not. November 9th, this week, Nintendo has announced Wii U production is, in fact, ending.
So they produced it for 6 more days.
I guess.
We're going to make 3 more Wii U's for the collectors out there who still want their box sets.
Yeah.
Ah, the Wii U. You were so terribly underutilized.
Yeah, they said we can confirm that as of today, all Wii U hardware that will be made available in the North American market for this fiscal year has already been shipped to our retail partners. We encourage anyone who wants Wii U to communicate with their preferred retail outlet to monitor availability. Yeah, so of course they've announced a new console. They're going to stop making the old one. I guess the question is, Spivey, you're definitely a Nintendo person. Why do they keep lying about obvious shit? Why are they like, no, the Nintendo
Because
Switch isn't a thing. Oh, wait, yeah, it actually is. No, we're producing the Wii U. Oh, no, it isn't. And they're saying that, and we've discussed before how they're saying that, no, we're going to keep producing for the 3DS, and they're definitely not a chance.
they're going to until the end of next year because they already have enough games announced for it. 3DS is going to die off by then.
No,
I
yeah,
can
no question.
I'm not an insider for Nintendo or anything. Nintendo likes And especially here nowadays, in the past couple of years, have been, hey, we're known as the all-around family company, basically. Like, not Sony isn't really well known for being like family friendly.
Right.
Microsoft definitely doesn't have that image with all their like Call
They're
of Duty and
not anybody
or
friendly.
Gears of War fans ruining Conquer. That's what they're known for. Anyway, but Nintendo really is known for being family friendly, and they don't want all these bad news to go out for their company before they're ready to announce it. So I'm pretty sure that they're like, oh no, definitely don't worry, kids, don't worry. We don't want all these bad things about Nintendo to hurt our image coming out, so until we're ready to announce it, and then people announce it way before, so they have to deny it even when it's totally true.
Even when it's definitely true.
Like how they're like, oh, there's still surprises in the new Pokemon games when they've been data mined already, and I'm refusing to look at them until the games come out.
Yeah, but
But
yeah, the games Sun and Moon have been leaked, and
they've been like, they're available like to certain people. Like
yeah.
they came out like 2 weeks early almost, and it really disappoints me that Nintendo has done this again. But they keep on doing this, and they're denying, no, there's definitely some stuff that hasn't come out, and
No,
I
there's
don't
not.
trust them. Like, until Nintendo gives me Switch reports on, oh, we're definitely going to be allowed to make Wii U games on it, I'm not trusting anything that they say on the system until their trailer comes out in January.
Yeah, what's weird about
So.
it to me is that, again, they're lying about stuff that, like, they are so obviously lying about. Like, it's one thing, a lot of games publishers lie. Most of them probably lie. It's one thing when you have, like, Bethesda, we talked about a few weeks ago, like Bethesda trying lying to explain why they're not giving out review code anymore. Like, that's one thing. Like, of course you're going to stop making the old console when you make the new console, Nintendo. That's how this has always worked forever. Like, of course you're going to stop Wii U production, especially when the Wii U didn't do very well.
Like, the only other thing I can think of, and this is like w this was planned well before the Switch came out, is because they were planning the Switch probably a year or two at the most after the Wii U, just because of the sales bases. They were actually thinking, well, maybe we will continue with the 3DS line. And that's why they keep on saying it. Not so much with the Wii U, but they're like, yeah, the Switch is going to come out. But we're going to keep the 3DS line, even though that's obviously going to shut down now that everyone's talking about the Switch. And the fact that the games aren't going to be backwards compatible, so no one's going to be buying them. So I think Nintendo might, on 3DS alone, not with Wii U, because that did horribly, they might honestly think that they can continue with 3DS and Switch sales, but they're not going to, because everyone's going to be buying games for the Switch, because it's just more accessible nowadays.
Yeah.
So, because with Nintendo like and their 3DS, that did sell really that sold remarkably better than the Wii U, but it's
Oh,
also
yeah.
sold incredibly poorly at the very beginning. So I think Nintendo's trying to say, oh, our consoles are going to be selling. We want to keep everything on the table just in case, even though that's not their actual plan.
Yeah. So you think if the
Because
Switch doesn't do well, they might actually keep up 3DS production?
I think they will. I think they're going to slow down 3DS production for now. But yeah, if they don't, if the Switch doesn't sell well, which I
I
can't see
can't
it
see,
not,
no.
because even if it has middle of the age graphics, if it has up to like the Wii U graphics, it's going to sell dramatically well. It's going to sell. I'm planning on buying one if it has that type of graphics.
Yeah, I mean,
like, I'm not looking for the advanced thing with the. If it has that thing and it's portable and the battery lasts more than 15 minutes, I will be buying one as soon as I can.
Yeah, and it's just, as we discussed, it's marketed so much better than the Wii U as well. Yeah.
Also, speaking of, if we don't have anything else, speaking of Nintendo doing horrible marketing decisions, there's another thing that happened this week.
Do tell.
Do you know about the NES Classic?
Yes, I do know about
the
this,
NES Classic. Yeah. Oh my god, they made like 12 of them.
Yeah,
total.
So
they're like, oh, our marketing definitely, because Nintendo has been doing the same thing with Amiibos. They did the same thing with the original 3DS at first.
They're talking
the
about
Wii
doing
especially.
The same thing with the Switch. So to tell people what actually is happening. So they released this week the NES Classic, which, unlike the new Mega Drive that we talked about last week, is not actually a new NES. It's basically sort of a like plug and play, I think.
Isn't it?
Like, it has a handful of games on it, and you can't add more games.
It has
to
30
it.
Games, and there it has 30 games HDMI support. But you can't add more games. There's not an SD card, and the controllers have like a 2-foot-long cord.
Yeah, and they're not. But, they're not the all of them like NES games you might expect to get. You know, like there's some.
I like the selection overall. They have the best Mega Man game. Well, they have the second best Mega Man game. They have the first Final Fantasy. They have Mario, of course. So I like, and they have a what is that fucking game? They have a couple of really good like. Games that you wouldn't really expect either. Bubble Bobble's on there.
It doesn't have Darkwing Duck for the NES, which is all I care about. Absolute trash.
No Darkwing Duck.
No Darkwing Duck.
It does have the RPG where you fight with a yo-yo, though, that isn't Earthbound.
Oh, yeah.
That name I can't remember.
I can't remember either. But anyway, so the NES Classic is probably not something that's going to do super well, but it's something that a lot of people were interested in, and they literally have shipped. It's sold out everywhere. It sold out across the globe in minutes. Some retail stores reported literally getting 10. Like, yeah. Spivey wasn't joking when he said they made 12. For many stores, they literally did make, like, 10. So,
no, like, where I am, they made 10 for our GameStop. The one that in our town that actually does well business.
Yeah.
They made 10 for their, I know in a couple states, Jim Sterling, podcaster, he does all his stuff on the Jimquisition. He reported that his local store, they got 3.
Oh my lord.
3 for the entire store.
Oh my lord.
And yeah, of course they sold out. Lines were backed up. A lot of people were complaining, like, I waited in line for hours. They were sold out before half the line got in the store.
Yeah, just.
And the thing is, it can't be that hard to make. It's not big. You're not asking for it to power. It's not that powerful because it's running NES.
It really, I mean, it really is basically a plug-and-play. It's a really nice plug-and-play, which is fine.
Like,
but yeah,
with emulators, I could run it on my cell phone from like 4 years ago. I could run NES games. It's not that expensive to make these days.
And I agree. It's the same thing they are doing with the Amiibo. It's the same thing that we've reported previously that they are talking about doing with the Switch. Is they're going to ship fewer Switches than they had Wii U's. They're big on manufactured scarcity, and I don't think it's helping them at all. Because they missed out.
Because
if there was a big line and only 3 people got one, they missed out on that, like, what is it, $150 per person? I don't remember how much it costs.
They missed out on it was a 60, I think. It wasn't that much. It wasn't.
Not that much, but still, that's money that Nintendo did not get.
No, and it is. And you know what those people are going to do? They're not going to buy one for a while or at all because they were so mad about their line.
Yeah,
because
they're pissed. It is. It's $59.99, so you were right. But yeah.
Yeah.
Except that now, still, if you actually want to get one, the resale prices are up to like $300 or more if you want to get one on eBay. Like,
I'm looking up on eBay because the last one I saw was like $400.
Yeah.
See on this.
Like, are they the scalpers? Because that's the only thing that makes sense here, is that the reason they keep doing this with all of their stuff is because Nintendo are actually the scalpers selling them on eBay. Like, surely those are the only people benefiting from them doing this every time they release some new hardware.
The cheapest one I'm finding online is $150 on eBay.
Yeah, so more than double the price.
It's almost, it's $10 less than triple the price on that.
Yeah.
This is...
And why? This is surely not helping Nintendo. It's bizarre. It's a company run by children. I don't know what else there is to say to that. There is one other piece No, go ahead. Please.
I was thinking this isn't... because this is the first... Or these are the first two major things since the new president... ever since the Shigeru Miyamoto, Satoru Iwata died.
Yeah.
So people were at least expecting some changes, but with the status quo that's happening, it's not looking very well with the new president. I know a lot of stalkers or brokers aren't looking very happy on this
stalkers.
Either.
Stalkers.
So I really... Whatever the people who... Stark owners, stalkers, whatever.
Shareholders, but I like stalkers. They're essentially stalking the company. Hey.
I mean,
hey,
yeah,
Nintendo.
So...
What? You want to not do some stupid shit? You want to release some products and sell them?
You want to actually fucking make money like you did during the Wii era?
Hey, Nintendo, you want to exchange some goods and services for money? You dumb motherfuckers.
What are you buying, Nintendo?
What are you selling, Nintendo?
Alright, anyway, let's get off this topic.
And the other Nintendo news this week, of course, is Pokemon Sun and Moon is coming out in 3 days. And there was a leak, like Spivey said, it's been data mined. But I imagine next week is basically because you and Jay are coming on and one of you's reviewing it and you're both playing it. So next week is just, I know, going to be like the Hey Poor Podcast Sun and Moon special. But I am curious, so having not played it, what are you expecting from Sun and Moon?
I'm expecting it to at least run battles competently, because while I like the remakes of RAS and I somewhat enjoyed X and Y, their battling system suffers from a lot of lag that you wouldn't expect from an RPG, a turn-based RPG,
mm-hmm.
where you select something and it has to load up because the 3D is on.
Right.
And since they turned it off for all battles, I'm really hoping they fix that major issue.
Yeah.
Because the only thing I've seen are some of the unreleased Pokemon that have happened online because people on Twitter were just sharing them without saying spoilers for Pokemon.
Yeah.
It's like, no, look at this cool looking thing. I can't click. Fuck, I saw it. But other than that, I'm actually looking forward to seeing what the story is, because other than X and Y, Pokemon has gotten a lot better in terms of their story base, to where they're actually almost, good for all ages again, which makes me happy. It's not go get 8 badges anymore, because they're gone.
Yeah.
Gym leaders are gone, which makes me really happy, so they can actually somewhat divert from the main way you play Pokemon, which makes me really excited.
So you didn't like X and Y's story?
Oh, I fucking hate X and Y story.
Really?
X
I thought
and
it was
kind
of good. I didn't think it was great.
There wasn't anything to it.
Lysander.
But Lysander didn't really do anything that no one else did. Lysander was just a worse Cyrus from Pokemon Diamond, Pearl, Platinum. Because it's like, oh, I'm going to reset the world just like what happened 2 generations ago. Hey, we're going to have a character named AZ that's a giant, we're only going to tell... We're going to tell one admittedly pretty decent story and then do nothing with him.
Yeah.
Absolutely fucking nothing with him.
I guess that's
hey,
true.
We're going to have all these, we're going to have all these background characters. Oh, they're breaking into a Pokemon ball factory and they have no personality whatsoever except, ooh, we're evil.
Yeah. I guess that's true. The kids suck. I'll say
downside.
That. The your friends and you gave yourself some nickname. That was always annoying.
I made my characters call me Mistress, which always made me laugh.
Oh man!
It's hey Mistress, let's have a Pokemon battle. Mistress, I like looking at the fireworks with you.
You dare. I just thought of 40 jokes and was like, no, don't say any of these.
I wasn't going to.
No, but the whole... but yeah, they honestly, I felt like they just existed to be like, hey, are you having fun playing Pokemon? Now do some bullshit with us instead. Mind if we just interrupt your experience?
Yeah, those characters weren't great.
Which is...
And it doesn't help that Black and White and Black and White 2 story was so much better because they had the, oh, we're actually trying to divert. We have the PETA Pokemon stories.
Yeah.
And then right after that, they go back to the same stuff they've done every single time before. It just made me disappointed. And it's why I really like the new team, because they're a bunch of little, like, ghetto people just running around with skull helmets, flashing gang signs.
Right, right.
It's great.
And listening to Wu-Tang Clan, as we have discussed. Okay.
Yeah. That's my hopes that they... I know the music's great from what I've heard from the demo, and everything about that demo made me happy, so... I'm really excited for the game when they come out.
Sun and Moon predictions. Again, tune in next week. I'm basically going to be like, hi, this is Jay and Anthony. What games have you been playing this week? Jay is going to say Pokemon Sun and Moon, and then I'm going to leave, come back 90 minutes later and say, well, that's our show. Thank you, everybody.
See, and knowing Jay, me and him get along, we have a lot of the same opinions, and then there's something in that game I know for a fact. I don't know what it's going to be, but I know we're going to have such a massive dividing point. And it's going to make for really awkward radio because we're just going to argue with each other for the remaining of the episode.
It won't really be like
that. And I know it's going to happen.
All right. News this week that is not video game related, but has been a pretty big deal. The presidential election. No, I'm kidding. It's Young Justice Season 3 was officially announced.
Yes.
Y'all
yes,
were worried for a moment, but like I said, it's a stress-free zone. What are your thoughts on Young Justice Season 3?
I loved Young Justice Season 1, and I really enjoyed Season 2, and then I was really upset that they didn't make one because, oh, girls don't buy toys.
Yep.
That was the excuse that they used, girls don't buy our toys enough, even though it's the second most watched show in its time slot.
They didn't like that Young Justice was appealing too much to women because, you know, they're trying to do the market segmentation thing of superheroes are for guys and, like, I don't know, Steven Universe is for girls. Maybe. I don't know what they're marketing towards women specifically, but yeah. And it wasn't selling enough toys. That was their actual, like, factual excuse.
And it had some really good character development, especially for a Cartoon Network children's show. That, like, they've been really ramping it up the past couple of years from what I hear. Like, you've mentioned Steven Universe, and even though I haven't seen an episode, I know fans are loving that, and I know it goes really in-depth with storylines. Same thing with Adventure Time. And then they had Young Justice, which I watched, admittedly, like, a year later than everyone else, where they actually went into good character development. They actually gave storylines to a bunch of characters. Blue Beetle was in it, and that makes me really happy, because Blue Beetle's the best.
That was fun.
And then they're like, yeah, we're going to cancel it right at a really pivotal moment, and we're not going to do anything else, so whatever. And then I know a bunch of people, like the main writers, were like, hey, if everyone watches it on Netflix, we might get something. I can't promise anything, and I'm assuming that's what did it.
I guess. I assumed it. Yeah, I mean, I assumed it was empty promises, but... I mean, I guess sort of what else does Warner Brothers... And have right now, right? Like,
there's a new DC show also about to air. A new Justice League action is also about to air on Cartoon Network. So I guess they're like, hey, we'll do Justice League action. If you throw this in, that could have also been something else they've done.
Maybe, yeah. I really don't want to start, like, a big fight, but I really did not... I could not get into Young Justice very much. I did not love it. I don't know, I just, the first several episodes just seemed so teen angsty to me. Like the Teen Titans show, the old Teen Titans show, which I did love, but at its worst. That's kind of what the new one reminded me of.
It gets better after the first four episodes. I think it loses more of its angst, and it gets even more angsty during the second season.
Oh, Lord.
But it does it a lot better.
Maybe.
I will admit, because there's a time jump, so... If you're not into that, I'm not going to fight you on it, because it does get pretty angsty at points.
Yeah.
And Superboy's, like, the worst, but...
Oh, Superboy's the worst. I thought Robin was the worst.
Superboy is the worst.
No, Robin gets better. I don't know, to me...
Superboy just never grows up.
Maybe to me, it didn't help that, like, the premise is not that interesting to me. Like, because it is the sidekicks, and I don't care. I don't understand how people can get attached to... Robin and, like, why people have strong opinions on the Robins and, like, care about the Robins, because, like, You guys know Batman's right there, right? Like, objectively cooler in every way, Batman is standing just a little bit behind him. I don't know. It's not my thing, but you know what? For fans of the show, I'm glad that you got it back. Maybe they'll bring back Mystery Incorporated, which is what I was watching, which was the Warner Brothers cartoon show I love from 2011 to 2013.
Was that the Scooby-Doo one where there was actual aliens involved in the plot?
Yeah, that was the Scooby-Doo one where they, among other amazing things, explained that he was able to talk because he was the descendant of a race of elder gods that only appear once every 5,000 years when the planets align. And the gravitational pull of all the planets being in order wears down the barriers between dimensions, allowing the Anunnaki to enter our world, possess the bodies of animals, and that's why Scooby-Doo can talk.
Yeah, okay. That explains that really weird couple episodes of Scooby-Doo I watched when I was moving out of my parents' house. I was like, what the fuck is this? This is awesome.
Yes.
And then I completely forgot about it.
Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated was amazing. There was a great, overarching, really dark, really well-written storyline to the both seasons. Honestly, like, it's like what Gravity Falls before there was Gravity Falls in a lot of ways, like a dark kids mystery show. But it was also Scooby-Doo, and it sort of poked fun at some of the like Scooby-Doo tropes and things. Like, there's one part where there's this writer who's talking about how he feels like he can't connect with the youth, and Shaggy's like, oh, well, we can help you with that. We've been teenagers forever.
Yeah, so that show is interesting, but that's not coming back as Hanna-Barbera.
It's definitely not coming back, because they made the... They have their other horrible Be Cool Scooby-Doo instead, which is not
I saw 10 minutes of the first episode and turned it off and stared at the wall, and that was more entertaining.
So I actually don't hate Teen Titans Go. I know a lot of people do, and it's nowhere near as good as the other Teen Titans. But I was like, it's its own thing, and yeah, it's not a serious storyline. It's kind of stupid, but like, it's all right for what it is. And then Be Cool Scooby-Doo is what everybody said Teen Titans Go was, like, for real.
No, Teen Titans Go is actually... I actually really liked the few episodes I've seen of Teen Titans Go because I went under the impression it's not going to be Teen Titans from 2006.
Yeah, exactly.
And people, when they heard Teen Titans, even though they didn't realize it's... They straight say it's not a continuation...
Yeah,
or it's going to be it's its own thing. They were not taking it seriously enough, and that's I think honestly, if they said, "Hey, at the very beginning of the first episode, like this is not this Teen Titans; it's its own thing," it probably wouldn't have gotten as much of a backlash as it did.
The best episode of Teen Titans Go by far is the one I think it's called "Get Serious," and it's specifically them making fun of their past incarnation. The whole thing is. A fellow superhero tells them they're not serious enough, and so then they, like, go over the top, gritty and edgy for a whole episode. And it was... even though, like, again, I love the 2006 Teen Titans, and yeah, it was way better than Teen Titans Go. But, like, that episode was actually really, really funny, and a really clever sort of, like, takedown of all the people complaining about it.
No. So, I'm actually going to look that episode up once we're done here, because that sounds really good.
That's fun. Yeah, if you're only going to watch one episode, that one is definitely the best. Yeah, and it just comes down to, like, I don't like Young Justice and you do, okay? You'll watch it, and I won't, and we'll both be happy. That's all you got to do. You don't got to fight over it.
I'm not going to fight you on Young Justice, because some people don't like angst.
Yeah,
of the teenage variety in their cartoons is
the thing, right? Like, yeah, if I go on to Netflix, pull up a Netflix drama, like, yeah, I want to get sad. But if I'm watching a cartoon about superheroes, I generally prefer more escapism, more fun. But yeah, good on you, Young Justice fans. Enjoy.
We finally won something for once.
Yep. And then... What other news is there? Tom Clancy's The Division gets a second expansion. Is anybody playing that?
Nope.
Asked and answered.
literally nobody.
All right. Well, in that case...
The last thing I know, and I don't know if you're interested in all, is the Ghost in the Shell live-action trailer came out. And it's honestly something I wasn't expecting, because it looks like, except for the fact that Scarlett Johansson's not Asian, it's actually really faithful to the source material. So if you're any sort of a fan of Ghost in the Shell, please check it out, because I was one of the fans from the very beginning. It's like, this isn't going to be good. Don't get your hopes up. And the trailer happened. I was like, oh, I may have been wrong. Oh, no.
Oh, no. You're getting on the hype train now. Just wait.
I don't want to be on the hype train, because I'm not a fan of Scarlett Johansson. But this movie looks like a good live-action Ghost in the Shell, which anime movies are always bad. This one might not be it. This might be the Assassin's Creed trailer for me. Where,
what?
Like, if people... Okay.
Did the Assassin's Creed trailer make you excited to see Assassin's Creed?
The movie.
I thought the Assassin's. Yes. I thought the Assassin's Creed movie trailer looked like a train wreck.
I thought it was like really interesting to me. I've also only played one Assassin's Creed game, so what do I know? So
I don't know. It looked to me it looked really bad. Like that's some of the worst like CGI, and I know that. The CGI in trailers is always worse than the CGI in the actual movie. Like, you go back and... I remember watching the Force Awakens trailers and being like, is this what it's going to look like? And no, it wasn't. Like, it's always a little bit worse. But I thought that the Assassin's Creed CGI of, like... That was the fakest looking, like, city skyline I'd ever seen. And it takes place in Italy. You'd think that, like, they could get a better looking frame of reference. I don't know. I just...
You're, like, the first person I heard that didn't like it, so that's...
You're the first person I've heard who liked it, which I guess is sort of indicative of how the internet creates these, like, opinion bubbles, but... I don't know.
Well, either way, I'm gonna see both of them, and I'm probably gonna hate both of them knowing myself, so...
I saw a trailer that, I was interested in this week, a movie that I had not heard of before, but the trailer came out this week, and I was suddenly interested in it. Have you heard of Valerian?
No, I have not.
Technically, it's called Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, but it's a sci-fi movie from Luc Besson, who did Lucy, which I didn't think was very good, and if you're not a fan of Scarlett Johansson, you definitely didn't think was very good. But he also made Fifth Element, which I adore, and Leon the Professional, which I adore for very different reasons. And it just looks like a really gorgeous, just, like, fun sci-fi adventure. And I'm excited for that.
I'm trying to think of the last time we had a really fun one that wasn't serious.
Guardians of the Galaxy, honestly.
Like, because... Yeah, I think, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, and then it's, like, way back beforehand. Because Star Wars is really good. Star Trek, the movies have all been increasingly better, in my opinion.
That's fair.
But... Those aren't really fun movies, and they have their moments. Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy is probably the closest one I can think of, and then nothing else, because that genre is kind of like video games, where they're always going as dramatic as it can.
Yeah. But this new one looks really good, and as you would expect from the guy who made The Fifth Element, it looks like it has a very, very distinct visual style, and it's just really bright and colorful, and it's so good.
Might have
Hopefully.
To look that up.
Hopefully it doesn't suck. But yeah, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets. I'd not heard of it, but the trailer has put it on my list of movies to watch in 2017. Like, without question. I think that's all that we have for this week. Hopefully you have enjoyed this smooth, stress-free episode with Anthony and I. Until next time, I've been I. Coleman.
I've been Anthony Spivey.
And have a wonderful Wednesday night.
Make anime great again. Goodbye.
Oh, no!
Ha 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 ha!